For me, it's more of a matter of, I'm not worried about what the church or what a pastor's asking. What is God asking me to do? He gives me 100%. And if I hold on to that 100% like this, clinging to it like I need this, then I'm not trusting him. If I have my hands open and it's like, okay, you asked me to give you back and trust you with 10% back, then it's a matter of like, where could God put more in? So if I have 100% and I'm like this, or if I have 100% and I'm like this, what could he give me more of? I use the analogy of like, if I had sand or water in my hands, if I was trying to bring water to someone and I filled up my hands and then I clenched my hands and I said, I gotta keep every drop of this water, it's all gonna pour out. Same thing with sand.
And nobody's gonna have
anything. Nobody's gonna have anything because I'm trying to take control over how much is there. But if I have open hands and it's like, I just trust, then there's the ability for more to be poured in, but then to be able to bless and give out to others. It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so, when I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Schmo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that, a little more cash than I came with. Ready, that cat is out that bag, but I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both, even do this. Word.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, wilcopa.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's TheBurn, TheBurn.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn. What's up, podcast? It's your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. I'm here in the studio with Josh Salvaterra, brought to you by Sweat Tent. Josh, welcome to the On The Stacks podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I'm excited to be here.
How does it feel to be back in your parents' old place here?
This is very surreal to be back in this office. I grew up in this building while it was still the Pizza Mill, and then my parents actually bought it from the Cardone brothers, and then it was the Ark, which was their business for over 25 years. And my mom did a lot of like a faith-based counseling out of this room. So I've grown up spilling my guts in this very room.
This is part two of you spilling your guts.
This is part two. Yeah. So it's like, it's surreal to be back here. And it's awesome how God brought us back together. How it all came full circle. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny whenever I, you know, because of our trip to Africa that, you know, everybody obviously already knows about, right? We've already been talking about it. It's been online a little bit. But you know, when we announced that and once I started like sharing with people, you know, that we're going and what we're doing and just who you are and everything like that, I always tell everybody the story of when we actually first met. And it was going back to when I bought this building. Like, it's been almost 2 years now at this point. And the day I closed on the building, I remember I literally came from the lawyer's office. I met my mom here.
Yeah.
And I think just to have like locks changed, a couple other things, right? And so I met my mom here and your car was parked, I think, in the driveway here.
Yeah.
And I pull up and I'm thinking to myself, like, son of a bitch. I'm like, I've owned this building for all of 30 seconds, yep. Right? And I'm like, and somebody's already, I'm thinking of myself, somebody's already parked it. I'm like, okay, great. Here we go, right? Yeah. Here we go. Day one. You know? And you know, then, you know, my mom and I were standing in the hallway here, then all of a sudden you know, you were kinda, you know, we saw you through the doorway and you kinda like, you know, did a little wave, whatever, and I was like, oh, is that you? And you're like, yeah, I'm leaving. And you're like, oh, I'm like, and you're like, are you Bill? And I'm like, yeah, like you just bought my parents' whole place. I'm like, oh my God, holy crap. You know, then yeah. You came in. I remember us standing out in the hallway right beyond the wall, right behind you. I remember we stood there and we talked for, I don't know, probably like a good half hour, just catching, you know. Of course, we obviously, you know, figured out that we knew a ton of the same people and we were just talking. I learned, you know, obviously a decent amount about you then.
Yeah.
But we didn't even know each other. Like, that was like the first ever meeting. And fast forward to, you know, not long ago. Well, actually, no, it was a few months ago that I posted on Facebook about doing some type of on-site podcast, you know, in the like local area here. And you know, you commented, I think, you know, half joking, but also half serious, maybe all serious.
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, because last year brought me to two separate parts of Africa. I was in Nakuru at this time last year. We were in Nakuru, my wife and I, Holly, we went. It was her first time ever leaving the country. So she went with me. We got a chance to see our projects. We were breaking ground on, we were finishing up dirt project number 4, and we were going to the location of where dirt project number 5 was going to be. And now we're wrapping up dirt project number 5, and we'll be embarking and going for breaking of the ground for dirt project number 6, which I'm excited about. So I went earlier in the year. That was my only trip that I had planned. It was my second time ever going. I was there in 2019 for the first time, and my mom and my stepdaughter, Michaela, came with me for that trip. So second time going, I was like, this is awesome. But when Kids for the Kingdom, who I partner with to do these projects, said that they were going to be doing a big conference, because they haven't done a conference in years, they're like, hey, we really want you to be a part of the conference and come, and it's going to be in October. And I'm like, oh man, like two trips to Africa in 1 year. This is going to be cutting it close, the time off from work and everything else. Thankfully, work was very understanding about it. And also, thankfully, my time off renews in October, so it worked out well too.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, okay, well, two trips in 1 year, I definitely have to take a little bit of a break. And then sure enough, I'm online and, you know, on Facebook, and you post, hey, any good ideas?
You leave one comment.
Yep. You're like, any good ideas for on-the-site locations? I'm like, Kenya, Africa for the Dirt Project. And you messaged me immediately. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And I just trust. I was like, God, if this is your will, then you'll open up the doors, the opportunities, things will work out. And so far it has. It's been pretty awesome and pretty exciting how things are working out. Everybody's schedules are kind of coming together. And the support, you know, we're getting the support. So that's always helpful too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really wild, man. Like how this thing has just come full circle, you know, going back to, you know, again, almost 2 years ago when I stood out there in the hallway with you. Not that I ever thought I wouldn't ever see you again, right? Of course, it's a small town, right? Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm sure I'll bump into this guy here and there. But never in a million years did I ever think that we'd be going to Africa together.
From strangers 2 years ago. And like when we were here, it was cool because I was like kind of telling you like, hey, this is whose office this was. And you were asking about like the paintings that my, you know, because there was like murals on the wall and stuff. And I was able to, you know, explain some of the significance of that kind of cool stuff to you, and even the fact that, like, you know, Giordano, who her office was your lounge over there, she, you know, her husband's also going to Africa for a different part of a trip that we're also connected with. So just the way that it all works out, we went from strangers 2 years ago to planning this trip together, and just all we knew so many of the same people, but, you know, never met before that day, and
never really had any interaction from that day on, and yeah, really until your comment, right? I mean, maybe
we bumped into each other at Glen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Openstock.
Yeah. We saw each other there that one time, but since then, I mean, that was probably a year after I bought the building, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and yeah, so like, holy crap. Like, it's just, it's crazy, man. And I don't know. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I think I've said that like numerous times on this show, probably over the last several months. There's just no such thing as coincidence anymore. At least I don't believe there is.
And so much of it for me, it's like, you know, I call them like God's fingerprints. Like, that's how I look at it, because it's like, everybody is always asking for a sign. It's like, give me a sign, show me something. And when you can see the way that things lined up and you can see the way that things worked out, it's, you know, you'd be crazy to say that it's all a coincidence and none of it like had anything to do or connected at all. And even the way that we're going, and not only are we going, but we're going to be breaking ground on the sixth project. And today is our 6 year anniversary, because even this podcast right now, here's another one of those fingerprints, was we've been trying to put this podcast together for a month now.
At least. Yeah. Actually longer. I think when you left that comment, that was back in December, by the way.
Yeah.
It was literally in December. So, I mean, I think even at some point then, back in December, we're like, oh, we should like schedule a podcast and start talking about this. But at that time, we're like, oh, we need a little more time to get all everything kind of lined up for the trip, you know, solidify some things before we really start talking about it, promoting it. So
we wanted to wait until the Times Leader article came out before we wanted them to have that exclusive to be able to break it. So, you know, but like 3-4 weeks ago, it was like, okay, we definitely have to do it like coming up. And as soon as the paper does it, we're going to do that. And even for the fact that you and I spoke on Friday and you're like, hey, let's do the podcast Monday. I said, sure. I'm like, what's that day? The 22nd. I'm like, that's the 6 year anniversary. So today's Earth Day.
Yep.
So I started it on the 22nd of 2018. So now we're 6 year anniversary.
Yeah, congrats, by the way, man.
Thank you.
So exciting, man.
Yeah, and to be finishing up Dirt Project number 5, raising the funding for Dirt Project number 6 right now, and for us to be able to go over and to be able to see it and experience it, that's when it will become real, like, for you. Like, that's when it became real for me, because, you know, I've kind of told you, my partnership with Kids for the Kingdom started, it's got to be going on like 15 years now. And, you know, in my Bible, I have a picture of a water well from 2013 that I did with them at a school. And, you know, as cool as that was, it was like, oh, thanks for sending me a picture. Thanks for sending me the coordinates. At that time, I was like, I don't ever plan on going there, but thanks for letting me know where it's at. And then to actually, you know, partner with them. And then even when I felt like God led me to start the Dirt Project, like, that was the seed that, you know, my mom getting me connected with Kids for the Kingdom and the work that they were doing was the seed that just eventually grew over time to, like,
yeah, what really started this all for you? Like what got you into this?
Yeah. So like I was saying, my parents, like, their building here, they did all nonprofit work within Luzerne County. So we would go into low income housing developments and we would do different programs with them, take kids to the CYC for basketball and for swimming, take them up to Francis Slocum, it was called HALS program and the STARS program. So it was like Students Taking a Right Stand and the Police Athletic League. So it was always based off of like it was a nonprofit that they ran out of here, and it was based off of like drug and alcohol prevention for the kids, prison ministry work, you know, to help, you know, people that were already in the prison system. Then my mom got connected with Kids for the Kingdom through a pregnancy, like an at-risk pregnancy, where like women who would otherwise be in prison, throughout their pregnancy, they would bring them to a maternity home where they would have a safe place. where they would be able to learn just, you know, some of the skills of being a mother and things that they would need. So it was always about giving back. So my life was spent, you know, doing that kind of stuff, going to Bear Creek campsites and Camp Kresge and all these other places with kids. So I was just always used to giving back and working with my parents in that aspect. And then her connection with Kids for the Kingdom, it was really when a good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Rob Kasha, he was like from this area, moved out to California. So I was going to his church at that time. And then I was kind of found myself in between churches. And I wasn't sure what to do with like my tithe money. And I just kind of told my mom like, hey, I'm kind of in between churches. I don't know where to give this to right now. And she said, why don't you look into Kids for the Kingdom? So I said, okay. So she gave me the contact information. I called up, you know, just like me just walking in here and be like, hey, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, my parents used to own this. Yeah. You're the new owner, right?
Yeah. I'm Josh. Yeah. That's just my personality. So I was like, I called up. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk to Tim, like the director of, you know, this
50 some million dollar, you know, global organization.
Yeah. Like I want to talk to Tim. And it was, you know, Tim gets on the phone and, you know,
so you did get
like,
through to him.
Yeah. And in all reality, like Kids for the Kingdom at that time, you know, they've continued to grow just because their work is so incredible that, that they really get some great donors and funders. It would be amazing if that was a $50 million organization, but like they do a lot of work in 18 different countries throughout the entire world. So when I contacted them, it's still like a small operation, you know, like you wear so many different hats in this place. It's like, you know, it's like your HR, your customer service, your, everything. You know, your podcast, yeah. you have to do it all. So
except what Eric does.
Yeah. Except for Eric, yeah. You know, setting up our footage here. So same thing with Tim. So like I get on the phone with Tim and I'm like, hey, my mom's Petra. Like, oh, I love Petra. It's like, oh, cool. All right. So I'm her son and I'm, you know, I have some tithe money that I've put aside and I'm just trying to find, you know, some stuff to do. And she mentioned you guys. And he was like, well, right now we just ran out of funding. We're trying to finish up an orphanage in Zambia. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, so we need a few hundred dollars to finish up the roof. I was like, so if I give you a few hundred dollars right now, it's going to finish up a roof on an orphanage in Africa? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, here's my credit card info. It was just like, it is exactly the way that like God wants us to give with a joyful heart. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be like, oh, here, I feel like I have to do this. It was like, I was so excited to do it. So that's how that seed started with Kids for the Kingdom. And then I would just save up and call, hey, what do you need? What do you need? And that became my place. So even when I found a home church that I would go to and I would give to, Kids for the Kingdom always had a place in my heart after that. And it was like, I always wanted to carve out a portion and give to them. So that's when I saved up and I did the water well. And it was like, oh man, that's awesome. That's like, that's really going to bless that school. And that's so cool. And it was like, it was that good feeling. Then 6 years ago, when it grew into this next thing that is, you know, grown into, that's why I love that logo. It's just like out of the dirt, just like that love grows, you know, and it continued to grow.
It reminds me of the tree that used to be painted on the other side of the wall here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a big part of just, you know, that had the different symbol of just like getting down to the root. So it's always, you know, you always want to make sure that you're rooted in the right thing, that you're doing things for the right reasons. So, you know, for me, it's just rooted in just a heart of trying to give back and feeling like I'm blessed, so I want to be a blessing to others. So when we started the Dirt Project like 6 years ago, even then, like that first year, we saved up. And to kind of let people know what a Dirt Project is it's first and foremost, everything starts with water, right? You know, how much of us take this for granted.
Yeah.
You know, just having that ability to just have clean drinking water, where there's so many people around the world that don't have that that access and that ability. So it starts with digging a water well. So it's different than your like smaller water wells. That like the one that I did at the school was enough to like take care of a school and help out the surrounding people in the village, but it wasn't like, you know, a 150, 200 meter down well. So you drill a water well, a borehole, and then they cap it. And then what they'll do is they'll put a pump system in there. So whether based off of that area, whether it's electric or if they have to have solar panels put in there or a hand pump, however they have to do it. And then we get the water towers up there as well. So you have a water tower for people who just need to come and have the ability to access the clean water. And then you have another tower that will actually have water irrigation systems, drip irrigation systems that will run down throughout like a portion of land so that they could then farm the land and then become self-sufficient. So now you have clean water, you have the ability to farm your own land, you have food production, and everything changes with water. So
take me through, and I know like I've heard, you know, this before, and I already know, but like there's probably a lot of people like listening and watching right now that, you know, are envisioning some things, but like, you know, some of this stuff I feel like you only sometimes like see online, right? Yeah. Or like on TV, right? So what is the reality like for these children and families in Kenya? Like what's like a typical day like for them?
Yeah, and that's what really, like I was like just saying, like that's what made it hit home to me was when I, because even after I finished that first dirt project in the first year, it was like, okay, same feeling I had when I did the water well. It was like, oh, that's awesome. Like we did something. We were making a difference. But when I went there, even landing in Africa and seeing Africa, I mean, because, you know, you travel and you see some places and it's like, okay, that reminds me a little bit of that. But then getting out to Nakuru and going to dirt project number one, it was when we finally pulled up and we get to dirt project number one. And I get out of the van and there's these three little kids. And it's a boy, and it would seem like his two sisters. Now, this is going back 5 years ago. So, like, these kids, they were probably around, like, 3, 5, and 7. And my kids back home are 3, 5, and 7. And we're out at the dirt project, and they just are walking down this dirt road, rolling. Like think of the blue water jugs that we put on. They have like yellow jugs like that are capped, and they're just rolling it down this dirt road. And it was like, we just came from that dirt road. And I don't remember seeing any houses. And I'm looking down the dirt road that they're going down, and I don't see another village. There's nobody with them. Like, you know, you're a father of young kids. It's like, I won't let my kids, I live in a safe neighborhood. I won't let my kids like play in the front yard.
Yeah, without your eye on them.
Yeah, and here's these kids that are just out in the middle of nowhere walking with this water. And David Mina, who's the director of Life Water Kenya, who does our drilling projects over there, he's a water engineer at heart. So when Tim with Kids for the Kingdom, Tim Dable, knew that I wanted to do these water projects, he's like, we're going to do them in Nakuru because David will make sure that they're done right. So when I got there and I saw these kids, I was like, David, you know, where are they? Like, where are they coming from? Where do they live? And he's like, wherever they live, they would have had to go much further just to get dirty water if this dirt project wasn't here. So it was like, that's when it became the most real, like a part, like that's when you could say like a portion of my heart was like, boom, planted right at their project number one. It was like, this is why we're doing it. Because it just became so much more real because it was like, I saw my kids. Like, what if they had to spend a portion of their day walking hours to go and get water and then bring, then like they couldn't pick up the water. They had to roll it. The kids aren't wearing shoes. Like barely clothed, and you sit there and it's like, it's making a difference for those three kids. And then while we're there, you know, other people showed up on bikes and they had like those two water jugs on the back and, you know, sitting there just helping them fill up their water jugs and asking them like, hey, where, you know, where do you live? Like, how far are you going? And like, we're in the valley. So you see mountains wherever we are. So like, if somebody pointed to the mountain, was like, I live on the other side of that mountain. It's like, oh, okay. But if you're on bike, it like
or foot, and pushing a jug of water,
yeah, with two jugs on the back.
As a child, you can't even lift.
Yeah, so like this kid might have been in his teens, but it's like that mountain is a whole lot further away than it looks, and like he has to do that every couple of days. But now he has a place to come and get clean water because the water that they were going to was stagnant water, and that's like one of the most dangerous things is that water that just lays stagnant. That's when, you know, the bugs and the diseases and virus, like everything just gets in there and they have no other choice. If you have nothing to drink, you're going to drink whatever you find. So by giving them access to clean water and then just being able to like see them turn on the nozzle and this, you know, this clean water come pouring out. It just, it was like, all right. Like it just, it changed from just seeing pictures and seeing the videos that they would send me and everything else, just knowing like, this is what we're doing it for. So couldn't wait. It was just, you know, that was definitely a life changing experience for me going
yeah.
that first time.
Yeah, man. Like you said, like, I mean, you already said it yourself, but you know, we have, you know, I've got a 30 some ounce jug of water here, you know, and yeah. it's like, you know, not that I take it for granted, but like, when you really think about it, it's like, man, like the access and, you know, everything that we have here. I mean, we're, look at this, yeah. we're sitting at this table in this building with everything at our fingertips. Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just think back to the story you just told of these kids that have absolutely nothing, literally not even shoes and no water. And it's like, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's almost, you almost can't even comprehend it. Like, it almost doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
And to me, like, it almost like doesn't seem real. Like, and I know it is, right? But it's so hard to comprehend. And I know in a couple months from now, when we're there, obviously it'll hit home even more, you know, just as you explained, right? But like, you know, again, like I said it before, like you see this stuff like on TV, you see it like in, you know, movies or shows, whether it's, you know, real or you know, or not. But like, you know, it's like you see this stuff and you're like, okay, yeah, like I know that exists
yeah.
all the way on the other side of the world. But like, it's so hard, I think, to comprehend, you know, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it as, you know, as heartbreaking as some of it is, to see some of it and seeing the way like some of these families and children live. But I'm also grateful, number one, for the opportunity, and to be able to go and do this and to be able to have this type of impact, like direct impact. Like, yeah. I know just from experience, just from here and everything that you've shared, the direct impact that you've been able to have on these families, like it's there's nothing like it.
And that's the part that, you know, sometimes I have to wrap my head around. It's like, you know, here I am just a guy from Northeast PA, you know what I mean? And it's like, God, why, like, why me? Why'd you call me to do it? And
what do you think that is?
Well, so much of it, I think, goes back to the heart. It just, it goes back to what is it rooted in? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if, like, I don't want to leave any type of, like, legacy behind. Like, I want to leave a ripple effect of hearts and lives changed by the love of Christ that I was able to show to others. And I want that to be like in my family and my children. I want my friends and coworkers to know me for that. And I want like anybody that I come in contact with whether it's Kids for the Kingdom, Life Water Kenya, while I'm there, for it to just be authentic in that way. Like it's, you know, it's not me, you know, it's, you know, so like even the money, like for me, it's, God blesses me and in return asks for 10%. And it's like, if I go through life, like so many people have that, you know, they might've grown up in church and they had that, you know, negative connotation where it's like, oh, the pastor's always asking for this. Or, you know, the church is always saying that you need to give. And if that's, you know, like, and that might've been like just a negative thing that they've experienced. Whereas for me, it's more of a matter of, like, I'm not worried about what the church or what a pastor's asking. What is God asking me to do? Like, he gives me 100%. And if I hold on to that 100% like this, like clinging to it, like I need this, then I'm not trusting him. If I have my hands open and it's like, okay, you asked me to give you back and trust you with 10% back, then it's a matter of like where could God put more in? So if I have 100% and I'm like this, or if I have 100% and I'm like this, what could he give me more of? You know, I use the analogy of like, if I had sand or water in my hands, you know what I mean? If I was trying to bring water to someone and I filled up my hands and then I clenched my hands and I said, I gotta keep every drop of this water. It's all going to pour out. Same thing with sand.
And nobody's going to have any.
Nobody's going to have anything. Because I'm trying to take control over how much is there. But if I have open hands and it's like, I just trust, then there's the ability for more to be poured in, but then to be able to bless and give out to others. And that's where that trust comes in. So for me, it was something that like my mom taught me at a young age. And I'm trying to teach my kids at a young age of that tithing for that reason. You know, it's Jesus doesn't need your money, you know, but it shows that the money doesn't have control over you. It takes away that control. Like when you are so worried about, you know, about like the finances, about how I'm going to pay for this, about how I'm going to do this, it's showing like the fear, the anxiety that comes from that just shows like, where's the trust at? You know what I mean? Because God tells us in the Bible, it's like, do the sparrows worry about where they're going to get their food? Do the lilies worry about like about the storm, about rain? It's like it trusts that it's going to be provided for. So that's where it comes like for me, where it was literally like it was the middle of the night. I was in the shower and like so many great ideas come. But it was like that's where the dirt project came. It was the for me, it was a vision of dirt. And it was like, I didn't hear like an audible voice saying, this is what you're going to do. But it was like, it started and it grew. It was like, I thought of dirt. Then I thought of, the name dirt. Dirt stands for deeply invested in reaching the third world. So deeply invested in reaching the third world is the analogy or the acronym for dirt. And then it was like, then I came up with the shirts. Well, then the idea was like, I'm dirt. So I'm deeply invested in reaching the third world. So it was like a conversation starter because like I'd be walking around and people are like, well, I'm dirt. What does that mean?
And
that's right. Exactly the whole point of it. That's what the idea behind it was.
Piques people's interest.
Yeah. But then I'm dirt also signifies the fact of like of my belief of like we came from dirt. You know, we came from dirt. We returned to the dirt. So it's that, you know, it's that feeling of creation as well and that we're connected to each other. Through a heavenly father. So it's a matter of giving back for that reason of loving others, of treating others. Like it, the Bible also calls us to take care of the widows and the poor. It tells us to do these things out of that right heart. So much of it, like when that acronym came to me for the Dirt Project and it was like, then water wells, then, you know, the whole idea of doing shirts and doing everything else. When I, you know, got out of the shower, I just jotted it all down, kind of went to bed, woke up the next day, and I called him at Kids for the Kingdom, and I was like, hey, I have this idea. I think I want to take it to the next level. I want to start my own thing, and I want to partner with you on it. He's like, let's go. So it was like, okay. Like the fingerprint things that I was saying about earlier, where you just see how things are working out, and you just know, okay, this – like it wasn't me, you know what I mean? And just knowing like there were so many times when I first started it, you know, here I am 6 years later and now like, you know, a newspaper article, a business doing a fundraiser, you know, the podcast, the trip. Even then there was those times where it was like, why am I doing it? Like, is anybody paying attention? It's like, does anybody care? And it's like, well, and like God, it was like, what does it matter if any, like I asked you to do this, Josh. I asked you to be my hands and my feet and my mouthpiece. So be obedient and trust me on this and trust my timing. And like, even for me, even if it was like, if I live another, you know, 50 years, and if every year I could do one dirt project, then when I die and to be able to say like, okay, there's 55 dirt projects in Africa that like it's that ripple effect of our lives being able to say like, man,
it's massive.
Yeah. Like it made a difference because those water projects, they'll last 20, 30 years. That's going to change generations. It's going to change people's lives. It's going to change villages. It's going to give, you know, clean water. It's going to give food to so many people. And it's, you know, once again, as much as we like, you don't realize how much we do take for granted until we go, until it's like, okay, I'm thirsty and I don't have a bottle of water. It's like, okay, well, you're not gonna drink anything right now then. You know, and when you're there and you just see like the first time I went, like we gave like pencils to these girls at the orphanage. And for a girl to come up with like tears in her eyes and she's like, I had no pencils and now I have a pencil to take to school. And it was like my heart like welled up. And like, then I come home And sure enough, it's the traditional, you know, my kid, like, just so happened that my kid, you know, his pencil, like, was getting a little small and the eraser was getting, and he's like, I'm throwing this pencil away. I was like, you're not throwing that pencil. There's kids in Africa who don't have pencils.
Right.
And it was you know, the whole, like,
that
the
moment.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, the kids in Africa. It's like, no, really, there's kids in Africa that, like, they don't have a pencil. Like, they're, a table like this in a school would have probably around like 14 kids working. You would have five kids, and probably another two on each side. So it's like, you know, they're and they do it like they love school. They're like the happiest kids. So even those kids that don't have a pencil are some of the happiest, most appreciative kids. Like, they're happy and they're so thankful that you gave them a pencil. Something that, like, you know, people trade in their cars. I woke up in motor. Like, people leave their pencils, their pens.
Leave a whole bunch of stuff in the car.
Their sunglasses, everything. It's like, people just, they leave
that junk.
Stuff. Yeah,
yeah, just buy a
junk.
New one.
Yeah, yeah. So the things that we don't even realize that we take for granted sometimes, and even just the heart. Like, I tell the story all the time. The night that we went to that orphanage, we went to a boys' orphanage and a girls' orphanage. They're right next to each other. And a girl stood up and gave her testimony, and she's talking about, you know, she gets up and she's like, you know, my mom and dad died, and I had to go and stay with my uncle, and my uncle didn't want to take care of me, so he wouldn't feed me or take care of me. So then I ended up at this orphanage, and it was like, oh, what a heartbreaking story. And then she pauses and she's like, and I'm so blessed, and God is so good, and I'm so thankful that I'm at this orphanage, that I'm not out on the streets, and they help me go to school, and they feed me, and they take care of me, and they love me here. And it's like, you know, you just gave such a heartbreaking beginning of your story. And it's not like, oh, woe is me, and, you know, I have every right to be upset and mad at the world and mad at God for how unfair life is. It's, God is so good, and I am so blessed, and I'm so thankful. And it's like, just when you go to these schools and you see these kids smiling and you see the 14 kids at a table and they're just so excited to have a visitor. They're just so excited. They just, they absolutely exude joy and love. And it's just like, man, this is, you know, and you know, not to pick on the kids in this country, but it's like, you know, hey, mom, you got me the wrong color Jordans. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's like the,
come on.
Yeah. It's when you have that perspective of things, when you go there and you experience it, and then just to know that, you know, that we play a part of something bigger. And that's something that I've been saying so much since October. So that's when Kids for the Kingdom had that conference. So I went to Nakuru twice. So last year I went, like, at this time of the year, like I said, I was there with my wife, and then Kids for the Kingdom talked about the conference, and that one was in Zambia. And the whole message of the conference there was a part of something bigger. And it hit home for me because, once again, you know, like, we got there and it was like honored guest. You know what I mean? And it was like, these people are standing up talking about how they dedicate their lives. Like, you know, this man was a brain surgeon who walked away from everything to, like, run an orphanage in China and to take care of children, and where it's so dangerous to be a Christian and it's so dangerous to do these types of projects. And then you have another group from Russia, a group from Germany, who, like, once again, they've dedicated their lives. They take care of children. They do feeding programs and Bible studies and all of these different things, and they take care of these people. And like I said, Kids for the Kingdom is global. And it's like, I run a couple fundraisers and I send you guys, like, some money to do water wells. Like, it, you guys dedicate your lives to giving, like, you give your lives to others. I give 10%, you know what I mean, of my finances to others. It's like, we're not equal. Like, you guys are the honored guests. I'm honored to be around and even be a part of this organization. But, like, so many of them, they're just so sweet and humble and loving. And it's like, you are part of this. You are a part of the body of Christ, and you play a role in helping us do what we do. So like they were so encouraging, because there are those times, and I'm sure you, as a business owner, it's like, you know, does anybody care?
Is anyone noticing what we're doing here? Yeah. You know, I think about that. You know, it you know, we all have ups and downs, right? And you know, it's, you know, even for me, even in just in the last, you know, few weeks, like with my, you know, the health scare I had and just everything, it's like I had to reevaluate my entire life and reinventory everything, including people. And like think to myself, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? And it's like, man, you know, not that I took some things for granted, but maybe a little bit, you know? And it's like, I made a lot of changes. I made significant changes over the last few weeks. And like you said, sometimes you sit back and you look around and be like, man, like, why am I doing this? Like, is this even worth it? Like, is anyone even paying attention?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we all struggle with that. I think everyone does. Everyone does. No matter what you do, even if you don't own a business, it doesn't even matter. Even just you work somewhere, you have a 9-to-5, whether you have a side hustle or not or whatever. It's just, I'm sure people question that a lot. There's probably people that question it probably on a daily basis, which is, you know, maybe a little sad, like to think about that. Like, and you know, and I hope, you know, one of my things with this podcast, and I've always kind of said, you know, that whole be part of something bigger thing that you were just talking about, you know, for me with this, all of this that I'm doing, I've kind of always said that too. Like, I want to build something that's bigger than just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing just started off as just my podcast, right? And it's evolved into so much more now. And, you know, some people may still just look at it as, oh, it's just a podcast, but it's not. Like, we're building, you know, we're a new media company. We're a digital media company. And, you know, in similar, you know, different, but also similar ways, like I'm saying, like, and I've been saying this forever, like the last 5 years with this thing, it's just like, I want to build something that's much bigger than me.
Yeah.
Like because I know one day it's not going to be, because it's not all about me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like, I want to build something that's just so much bigger, something that other people feel like they can be part of. You know, like I just had a conversation earlier this morning with somebody else, and he's like, yeah, man, like he goes, you know, of course I need to make X amount of money, but like at the end of the day, like I need to enjoy what I'm doing, feel like I have a purpose and feel like I fit in, and I just want to enjoy what I'm doing. And if I can fit in there and do that, then like I'm good. Obviously, of course, the money is a little part of it too, but more importantly, I want to feel like I'm contributing.
Yeah.
And like I have a voice and I feel like I'm part of something, and part of something bigger, literally, is the message. I just had that conversation this morning with somebody, and it just all ties in with this whole thing, because again, I feel like, and again, I hope through this, you know, not just this episode, but my podcast, the other shows, everything that we're doing here, just in general, on the Stacks in general, that people can look at it and, you know, hopefully get something from it like that. Like, hey,
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On the Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights.
A lot of times when people are in car accidents, kind of forget what we should do. First and foremost, call 911. Then, get out of your car before moving it and take pictures. It's so important to capture what the cars look like immediately following the accident. Finally, call your insurance carrier and make a claim.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast track the future with their 10 gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667 or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability. And now we're back on the stacks.
You know, there's other opportunities around, and like there's other things that you can do to to feel fulfilled or feel purposeful. Yeah. And I know it is, but again, some days I question it. It's like, am I really reaching some of those people? And I think more times than not, we are reaching those people, and there's a lot more people watching than you think. And I don't mean just like watching. I'm not talking in terms of like the numbers on YouTube of the show or anything like that. I mean just people watching, right? There's people, there's more people that they just don't speak up to you, whether it's you or whether it's me.
Yeah.
I think there's people like you're affecting, you are, and I am too, and we just don't realize it. We have a really great effect on people's lives, and you might not ever even realize it, you know? And like, so at the end of the day, I try to sit back and think like, hey, there's probably a lot more people that are being positively affected by what I'm doing or what we're doing here. And it's just sometimes those people just don't, they just don't speak up. They just don't tell you. And it doesn't matter one way or the other, but yeah. just know that it's actually happening.
Yeah. It's like, I'm always like, God, help me to just be a reflection of your light and love to like everybody I come in contact with today that I don't even know that it's that they need it, you know? And sometimes you do, you hear about it, you know, a year later, like, hey, you said something to me and I never forget it. And it's like, I don't remember saying it,
yeah,
but I'm so happy that I was there and I was able to. And, you know, especially my career in car sales, like so much of it was chasing a different status, a number one, you know, just really the hustle and grind mindset. And the years were flying by, and it was something where like when I was making the most money that I ever did in my life, I was the most miserable that I ever was in my life. And it was, you know, and don't get me wrong, I was still doing, you know, the dirt project at that time. But it was like, you don't get, so many people think like, well, once I make this much or once I have this, I'm going to feel better. And like, you will never find fulfillment in the things that you have and the amount of money that you make. You will never feel that like, okay, I'm complete now. It's like once you find a passion and a purpose to like to affect others and to be able to bless others in whatever way that is, like you don't have to start a nonprofit, but you know, whatever way that you can just touch the lives of the people that are around you that need you, it will bring you a greater sense of joy and peace in your life and fulfillment than any of the money or the stuff ever will. And that's, you know, that's why I'm thankful that like, you know, my work-life balance is focused on this part now too, and of being able to give back and to be able to do these things and find new partnerships and new ways. And it's so cool because like things happen, like, you know, once again, the fingerprint, you know, I was at Royal Bakery just a few months ago, and you know, there the guy who does my taxes, you know, moved his office, and you know, I wasn't even supposed to be there with the wife and kids, but we popped in, and I'm sitting this way, and on the chalkboard behind, they would do a fish fry for a fundraiser, and sure enough, there was a week open, and my wife noticed it, and she was like, oh, we should tell them about the dirt project. And it's like, all right, go ahead. So, you know, from having like a conversation there, they're like, oh, we'll look into the dirt project. We're supposed to have somebody who is possibly going to take that spot, but if they don't, we'll let you know. They call me on Monday and they're like, we saw what you do. We love it. We want to be a part of it. So like, not only did we gain a new partnership with them, but then like they raised some funds with the fish fry. You know, we had a really successful one. And then right now they have a box out at their place for people to give the school supplies because they're like, what else can we do? And it, like, you know, talking about the pencil story, talking about the soccer balls, you feel like a rock star by going there and handing out soccer balls. It's the best feeling in the world. So they have a box out where they're collecting school supplies. So if anybody wants to give anything towards the trip that we could pack up in duffel bags and bring with us, Royal Bakery is doing that. And then they even want to do another meal that we're going to try to get scheduled to help us with our trip. So it's like, not only do they want to give back and help in that way, where they want to be a part of the water wells, part of giving the kids gifts, but they want to partner with us to say like, hey, we believe in this so much. Like, we want to help you guys get your podcast over there. Same thing with Jonathan's restaurant out in Harvey's Lake, another spot. They're like, hey, we want to do a dinner here. And whether it's going to be African themed or whatever, we're going to try to figure out a menu. But they said, you know, we want to set up a night where a portion of every single meal is going to go towards, once again, helping to be corporate sponsors and to go and give back. You know, I literally just came from Axelrad. You know, this is
brand new.
This is fresh. 1 hour old. This is 1 hour old. The team over there are amazing. You know, they always take care of me, and I'm just so thankful for them and the way that they help us out. And you know, Tony over there has just got such a huge heart, man. And the moment I walked in there, you know, 6 years ago, and told him about my idea, because I'm like, okay, like, who's gonna help me out with shirts and this and that? He's like, I'm your guy. Like, you don't have to go anywhere else. Like, we're doing this for you. So just when you find those connections and you find like, oh wow, like there's so many people out there with a good heart. Like, we always hear about the negative. We always hear about, you know, the people who, you know, don't want to help or don't want to give back, but there's so many people out there that have a good heart and that want to help in bigger ways than we could imagine. And it's cool when we all come together and we could make a even bigger impact.
Yeah, I think it takes me back to, you were saying it a few minutes ago, but when you were saying about, you know, holding on to 100%, yeah, right? It reminds me, did you ever read the book The Go-Giver?
The Go-Giver?
The Go-Giver.
That sounds familiar, but I did not
know. Well, check it out. But it kind of reminds me of that same thing. And obviously, you know, The Go-Giver, you can kind of envision what the book's about, right? But it's the same thing. It's like, you got to give, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't just, like you said, you can't just hold it all in here. And I think we're all guilty of that at one point or another in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the more that we just sort of let go of some of that stuff, and it's just an interesting topic, how you know, and conversation about how you said about like that anxiety of money. And it's like, oh, like, well, I'm just waiting until I get that and then I'll be happy. And we've all been there.
Yeah, we always move the goalpost down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I have that.
Well, it's like, oh, but I need to get to that. I'm not happy until I get that.
Because what happens is when you get that, your spending just came up.
Increases, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you push the goalpost down and then you spend more.
Yeah.
So it's
a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, it's about living within like a margin of means where you're not bleeding it out right to the edge.
Yeah.
And then the stress comes in of, you know, being paycheck to paycheck and getting behind.
And to a point, only doing it for the paycheck.
Yeah.
Because I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there, literally.
Yeah, and that's that other place. It's like, you know, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. You know, I'm in a position where it's like, okay, like, and it's hard. Like, not everybody's going to find a job or a career where they love what they do and they love their work and they can't wait to go to work every day. It's like that. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But that's why, like, for me, when you find something else that like, that's what you identify, like, that's who I am. You know, like, I don't want somebody to be like, well, what do you do? Oh, I sell cars. It's like, all right, that's, you know, oh, I am a part of an organization where we develop water wells and irrigation systems to give back to people in third world countries. And I'm a father and I'm a husband and I'm, you know, and when that's where it's like, this is what I'm doing it for. Like, yes, do I have a career that I've been doing for a long time and I was very successful at, but once again, like, that's not who I, like, I don't want to be remembered just for that. You know, I want to be remembered for so much more. And I think that we all have that ability to. It's like, you know, you can be the best friend to somebody who really needs that person. And, you know, as we were talking about that holding on, it's like the more that we hold on, the more that we try to have control over a situation that we really don't have control over.
Yeah, the worse it gets.
Yeah. Because you could say like, well, if I just have this, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be comfortable, until you have that health scare. And then when you're there, it's like none of that matters.
Nothing mattered. No. Nothing in that moment.
No.
Nothing.
You didn't care about the podcast, the views, the clicks, the episode that, you know, okay, I'm supposed to do this. It was like, am I going to be here for my kids? Like, yeah. Am I going to be here tomorrow?
That's all I thought about was my wife and my kids.
Yeah. Because we always have, like, we worry about tomorrow, but tomorrow's not promised. So it's like, why? Like, and that's the, like, once again, to go back to the Bible, like Jesus says, like, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry for itself. Like, be present. Be here today. Like, today has enough worry for itself. So, like, if you're bringing tomorrow's worry in today, now you have a double dose. So it's like, don't worry about tomorrow, because in all reality, like, we can only hope.
It may never happen.
Yeah.
It may never happen. So you could be worrying for nothing.
Exactly. And so many of us do. And, you know, we think about that conversation we're going to have with that person and how it's going to go. And, you know, we play it out in our heads 100 different times in 100 different scenarios. Of, well, if they say this, I'm going to say that. And then you get to them and it's like, hey, I'm sorry that that happened. And like, oh, well, I forgive you. It's okay. You know what I mean? It's like that the hours of torment that we did, you know, and the mental gymnastics that we did of like the what ifs.
I've done a lot of that.
Yeah. So, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, that was all for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, no, we're good.
Yeah. You know, so so many times, you know, we do. We try to just think that we're going to find a purpose and a goal and something outside of what we really will. And then we get more miserable because the more that we get closer to that goal that we thought that we had, and it's like, why don't I feel better yet? Why don't I feel validated, appreciated? You know, like all of these feelings that I thought I was going to have.
Yeah.
It's like, because that's not where you're going to get it from.
Right. Yeah. It's doing all these other things. And also kind of ties in, it reminds me, I said this on a recent episode too, but like, you know, people always like ask, and it's a very interesting, you know, conversation to have is like people always say like, oh, how do you know what you want to do? Or how do you find your passion? How do you, like, you know what I mean? Like people, like, you know, there might be people who say are working a full-time dead-end job. And like you said, like maybe it's okay. Well, maybe you get involved with doing something like the Dirt Project, right? And then that's your thing and that's fulfilling. But if like you're somebody that, you know, whether you want to do that or not, but like maybe you're trying to say like, ah, well, like I've done this job, that job, and nothing really fits me. Well, then maybe start your own thing.
Yeah.
And everyone's always like, but I don't know what to start. And it's like, you don't need to know.
No.
You don't need to know. You don't need to know what it is. You don't need to know where it's going to go. I think the best advice, the best thing to do, and I said this like I feel like a broken record. I've said this probably so many times in the show, is just start. Just start something. Just do something. Try something. Try different things. Some things are going to work, some things aren't. And so what? You move on, right? Like it's like you're not going to your passion or whatever your purpose is, you're not going to find it like that. Like it's just not going to happen. And it might take you 15 years. Like it might take you till you're in your 30s. It might take you till you're 40 or longer. And there's nothing wrong with starting over with anything in life. Like literally anything. I say it all the time because I can't tell you how many, you know, friends and people and or clients that would say like, oh, like I'm 40 years old. Like I can't start over. I'm like, huh? I'm like, you can start over tomorrow. Like your life is, you can literally start over and you're just getting started. Like 40, that's not old.
No.
You know, or even 45, you can literally start over, start a business, do something at 45 and in 10, 15, 20 years, have the most thriving business and you're happier than ever.
And so many times it's also like your purpose and your passion might have nothing to do with money. Like,
right.
I make $0 off. Like I donate, like this is a full charity. Like there's like the Dirt Project doesn't bring any money in and I don't take any money. Mm-hmm. Like every one of my fundraisers, it goes directly to Kids for the Kingdom, who is an amazing 501c3 that chooses to be, like they do their own audit every single year to show that they run like
very slim.
Yeah. And you've looked into
it. I did. I personally did. When you said like, I looked up, I mean, you told me about it beforehand, but not that I didn't believe you, but like I literally fact checked it myself because it's true.
Yeah.
It's
because like so much of it, like you hear of these places that like, you know, they take advantage of so much that comes in.
Yeah,
it just
goes to salaries. Yeah. Like you know, like 80 or 90% of the money coming in just goes to salaries, administrative, so yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
And then you find out that say you gave $1,000, only like a couple percent of that really goes to like whatever you thought you were funding. That's crazy. And to know that this organization is the exact opposite in a good way.
Yeah.
It's like
95% to 93% goes directly to the projects all around the world, and they run off of like a 5% to 7% for overhead.
Yeah.
And they have such a great group of donors that like when I partnered up with them, they're like, listen, we don't need anything from the Dirt Project. So like if $1,000 comes in for a Dirt Project donation, $1,000 is going to then be sent to Lifewater Kenya. So it's like, so there was 0%. The only thing is like when you wire money to another country, like there's a portion of it that like there's going to be a wire fee. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's it. Other than that, the work is being done. And
it's
that's
going
why
directly to it.
But you have so much of a bigger impact that you could have. But like for me, that part of my passion and my purpose and where I find like joy and just excitement, it's not bringing me anything in financially. Like, so I have a career. So I have a career that I go to every day, which helps me to be able to then bless others through my passion. And so many people, it's like, you know, you'll have haters even in the nonprofit world, man. It's like people, I'm like, they'll be like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, you know, I do water well, like projects. And we do irrigation systems and stuff. It's like, there's enough people who need stuff here. It's like,
somebody commented that, I think, on the Times of Your article. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody actually said that.
There you go. Perfect example.
I mean, I know I cut you off and totally, you know, hijacked your story. But I thought you were saying that because literally in that article, in the Times Leader article, that great article they read, you know, that Bill wrote, like in there, you know, there's the anonymous comment section, which by the way, it's so annoying that's anonymous, right?
Yeah.
But whatever. But yeah, so somebody
call in right now.
Yeah. So it was either there or on Facebook. I'm pretty sure it was on the actual article. I'm going to have to look it up after this to fact check myself.
You'll have to show me.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody said like, oh, like that's great. But like, what about helping the people here in NEPA? And it's like,
right? It's like, oh, okay. So many times I want to, okay, so what are you doing for them?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? That's always my question.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody complains about anything, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
You can't complain unless you're doing something about it.
Yeah.
And even then I still don't want to hear you complain.
Yeah.
Right. Like that drives me nuts.
Yeah. There's a need in Northeast PA. I know. Cause my family's been a part of helping out in that need for a long time.
Right.
We've been doing it.
Yeah. We're doing it here and there, by the way.
It's a matter of like, okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Like,
and if the answer is nothing, then zip your lips.
Yeah. So many times like you'll have haters like, oh, you know, we're trying to do this. It's like, well, why don't you take care of the poor in America? It's like, okay, yes, there's poor in America.
There's poor everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And there's need everywhere, but it's like, you know, you could find clean water and like you could go to a public drinking fountain.
I don't think it matters how poor you are in this area.
Yeah.
You can literally survive. Like you can like go pool hopping at hotels if you want to, to take a shower. Like there's like, you can literally
shelters. Yeah. There's shelters.
There's everything.
There's a lot of help here.
Like you can go to a water fountain. Like there's, I'm pretty sure there's public water fountains like all over.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, that is where other people, it's like, okay, so your heart might not be for the third world. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, where's your heart? Like, you want to go to an animal shelter and
do something there.
Yeah. Clean up cages.
Yeah.
You know, help out there. You know, go to a homeless shelter and feed and take care of them. There's even a new one, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, that just started.
Yeah.
It's like a
very
local
familiar,
one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it. When I ended up having like a friend who posted something on Facebook and I was like loving on that. You know what I mean? It's like there's how many kids in Luzerne County that don't have a bed and you guys are making a difference. You guys like, I love it.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Great.
Do
it's
it.
Great.
Yeah. It's
keep
like
doing it.
Yeah. So, so find that area where you feel passionate about it and that you want to make a difference. And it might have nothing to do with people in the third world country. And it might have nothing to do with people in general, but like, help out a dog. Help out, like, do whatever, you know, and if you're allergic whatever to feels cats, good. Don't go do that. Yeah, right. Like, go do something
and just
else.
Do whatever feels good.
Yeah.
That's it. It's literally that easy.
Yeah. We all have that ability. So, like, that's where it's, you know, it is. It's humbling when you really see, like, I can make a difference in a greater way than I ever thought. Like, because so many times we're self-centered and we're self-focused in this country to a point where it's like, we think about me. We think about, like, okay, well, I take care of my family. It's like, well, yeah, well, like everybody's supposed to, you know what I mean? It's like, so we're just so focused on that. And the more that we focus in on that, and the more that we think that everything is about us, then the more that we start internalizing things and we start thinking about, like, wow, like, it, you know, am I making a difference? Am I doing anything? Am I, like, and then once you get to that point where you start getting out of yourself, and like when God kind of put that on my heart, where it's like, it doesn't matter about you. I asked you to do this and you're doing it. So, like, trust me. Like, if it fails, it's on me. So, like, it's not on you. So don't worry about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If like I said, if you only do a couple projects and people stop donating and whatever, like, just keep being obedient. And like, now to be here once again on the 6-year anniversary,
it's crazy
to be talking about a trip that we're going to take, that my 13-year-old son is going to get to join. So it's going to be my birthday and his birthday when we're over there. So it's just, you know, to know that my son, like, every night when he prays, he's just like, God bless the trip that we're going to have to Africa. I can't wait to go. He's like so excited. Like, they have that, like, realizing that our children are sponges and they see what we do more than what we say. Mm. So, you know, he's so excited to know, like, he's seen me go on these trips, and like, it's like, so when I told you, like, I had no intentions of going on this trip this year. And when I went for the second time last year, my son was like, well, Dad, when am I going to get to go? And I was like, buddy, I promise by the next time I go, you'll be a teenager, and I want you to wait till you're a teenager so you could really appreciate it. So I promise you're going to go on the next trip. So when you're like, all right, we're going, I'm like, oh man, I'm taking Josh. Not only am I going, but I have to take Josh too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but he's so excited. And then, like, after that, I have Johnny, who's 10, you know, he'll be 11 this year. So if I go in 2 years from now, he'll, like, and then he'll go on the next
back.
Trip.
Yeah. I mean, like, we didn't even do this trip yet. And like, I already know,
yeah,
like, this isn't just a one and done thing.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, too, and we didn't say this yet, and I know we've talked about this multiple times, but, you know, so we're going mid-July, and the date's, you know, approximate. I don't think they're going to change at this point. They've changed. They changed like several times at this point.
Yeah.
And the you know, the crazy part about it, again, this isn't, you know, people might think, oh, this is a coincidence, but it's not. Again, I don't believe in coincidences, right? But when we first spoke about this in December, we were like, all right, at first, I don't know if I said, I think you said June. I think you were the first one. You're like, hey, yeah, how's June? And I'm like, yeah, June should work. I'm like, just, you know, let me know. Like, okay, cool. June. We didn't have any dates, you know? And then it was like, I think it was maybe like, oh, mid-June or something. Okay, cool. And then like maybe a few weeks went by or something. You're like, hey, you know what? Is it possible if we do it in July instead? And you're like, are you good in July? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, except for the first week of July. I said, other than that, I said, I'm good. I said, I could be I'll be very flexible, right? It's like, okay. So, you know, then I was like, all right, we're going in July. And I said to you, I was like, you know, and we picked the dates, you know, back then, and it was like something like, I forget, it was maybe like the 16th yeah, to like the 26th or something like that. It was like 10 or 12 days. And then I said to you on the phone, I think the one day, I was like, hey, I was like, do you remember the day when I bought this building, right? I'm like, do you remember the day that, you know, you were out there and you came in, we stood in the hallway out there and you talked? I said, that was the day that I closed on the building, that I officially purchased and owned this building. I was like, do you remember what the date was? And you're like, nah, why, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, and I know you're thinking yourself, like, why would I remember? It wasn't really significant to you, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously, you know, very significant to me, right? It was July 17th. And literally, you picked the dates that we were going to Africa, you know,
yeah,
and you had no idea what that date was. So not only is all the stuff that you just said, you know, about the timing, right, yep, and the dates, but we're also going to be in Africa on the 2-year anniversary that I bought this building, which was previously your parents' building.
Yeah.
Which it's just, it's like, you can't make this stuff up, man.
No.
It's like, it was all unplanned.
Yeah.
All unplanned.
Yeah.
Just like, it was just like, hey, you said to me, hey, those dates go. I'm like, yep, cool. And like, I just waited to tell you.
Yeah.
Until like I even waited. I don't think I even told you at first. Like when we first had those dates in July, I didn't even tell you at first because in case it were to change, I was like, I'm gonna wait like another little bit just to make sure. And then finally, I brought it up to you. And I told you, and you're like, oh my god, wow, like crazy.
It is. It's amazing the way that it's coming together. Because I see those fingerprints, but it's cool that like you're already seeing them. And then it just kind of the more I see them, the more a piece that I have about like. The whole trip, you know what I mean? It's just that like knowing like, all right, God, you got this. You know, I wear it on my wrist every day. God's got this. You know what I mean? When you know it's like, you know, good, bad, happy, sad, you know, you got this.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel comfortable and confident knowing that we're going over there and that it's going to be a place where he's going to have us the whole way. He's going to be before us, behind us. He's going to guide us, lead us, direct us, keep us safe, keep us happy, keep us healthy, you know?
Yeah.
So as we, continue to pray and prepare and that we're going to continue to have those corporate, even those, the thing like corporate sponsors, like, you know, you and I keep talking like, hey, yeah, we got to get something out. And it's just knowing like it'll work out.
It'll work out. It's going to work out. Yeah. And I forgot to even tell you, and I won't mention them yet, but I had somebody message me on Facebook yesterday, literally said, Bill, email me something about your trip and I'll cut you a check. Didn't say how much, what are the pack, nothing. Just he said, just give me something, like send me something so I have it. So like I have something to write, like what exactly is you're doing, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, send me it and I'll cut you a check.
Yeah.
Literally. This just happened yesterday.
And we
don't even have that document to get together yet. And he just said, hey, do you have something? I'm like, I'll have it to you this week. Right. Yeah. And he was just before he said, we'll do it. Like, I didn't even ask him.
Yeah.
He came to me and said like, hey, I want
to
help.
Another business who reached out to me within this last week as well. So it's like, so it's great when you, because it motivates you even more. It's like, man, people, they do care, you know, and they do want to make a difference. And so many people, like, they'll ask why are you going over there, why are you going to do the podcast? It's like, it's once again, it goes back to what I said earlier, like we want to shine a light on a situation of a place where there's a need, and like this is going to have an impact. It's going to show people in a very real way. You're going to experience it in a very real way, and it's so much more powerful to experience it yourself. And I told you this story, like David with Lifewater Kenya, like Tim's dad, Greg, they tell the story all the time. Like Greg had $3,000 and he's like, I can send you $3,000 to do a water well. This was like 30 years ago. I can send you $3,000 to do a water well, or I can come to Kenya to visit you. And David's like, come to Kenya to visit us. Because he knew like the way that it just opens up a part of your heart. It's like trying to explain to somebody like, you know, oh yeah, when you have your first child, like there's a part of your heart that like opens up, like you didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
And then when I was having my second son, it's like, okay, well, like do they both have to share this part now? Like what's going to happen? How am I going to love both of these guys the same? Like, you know, this has been my dude for 2 years. I love him so much. And then it's like, God's like, don't, I got this.
Here's another part of your heart, another chamber here. Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it's the same thing when you go and you experience it. Like, it's a part of your heart that like when you really just align yourself with him and his will and you give back and you line up and you start doing something and you become a part of something bigger. Like there's a piece of the body that's missing and it's like, and you're it. So it's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I'm the pinky, you know what I mean? And it's like, does anybody notice me?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like it's, you're a part.
You're
like,
still part of it.
Yeah. There's a reason that you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited, man. I know there's probably still so much that we could talk about this trip. But man, like I'm really looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to it. And it's like, you know, I know like now it's getting a little closer now,
you
know, and, man, it's like, It almost like doesn't feel real. Like it does, but it doesn't, you know? I know as we get closer, it will.
And it sneaks up on us. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, well, we still have until like it's July.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like it's next gonna week, be July. It's May, and you're like.
Oh. And then we're going to be in the car driving to JFK.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. All right, man, you're ready to go. And it's like, I don't know. It's like you're going up the roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, chugging up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think I'm ready for
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
So it is. And then like you're there and like everything goes by. But it's. It's truly a special time that I'm really excited for. So as we continue, I know that we're going to continue to keep your listeners, like, you know, yep, my followers and donors updated of like, hey, we're doing like the different meals, like I said, whether it's at Jonathan's Royal Bakery, like, hey, come out, show some love, you know, come have food and you're doing it for a good cause. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, what better way to do it? And different, you know, other people that are going to continue to come alongside of us and support us. And I'm excited for getting over there with you as well.
Yeah. And too, I feel like I should have mentioned this earlier, but hopefully people are this far into the episode and still listening or watching. But besides the corporate donations, so corporate donations obviously might, you know, will be at a little bit of a higher tier, right? But anyone can support us. Simply, we have the Indiegogo campaign going on. I'll drop the link in the comments. It's too complicated and long to say right now. I'll butcher it real bad. Plus, you know, it won't even make sense. So I'll drop the link in the comments. But anyone can literally give anything. I mean, we have dollar amounts, I think as low as like $5 or something on there.
Yeah.
And it all just goes right to helping us, you know, make all this possible.
Yeah.
And of course, you can read the whole story on there. Everything, all the information's on there. Etc. But again, like if somebody's listening and is like, oh, well, I can't afford a $500 or $1,000 donation or a $2,000 or $5,000 corporate sponsor, like that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And like, I'll say like the regular person, anyone can literally just give $5.
It's your way of being a part of something bigger. It's your way of saying like, hey, I want to help them shine this light on this area.
Yeah.
And we're working on some really cool podcasts that we want to do. And we can't share it all yet.
We've got four lined up.
Yeah.
We've got four. It might be a fifth, but we already have four solid lined up. I mean, like, it's so crazy to think, you know, and one of the four, you know, we're not going to give it out yet, but like just came along as of like just like a few days or a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's unbelievable how all the pieces of the puzzle are just coming together.
With all these schedules working out.
We got people flying from California, from India.
Yeah.
You know, like there's people literally coming from all over the world coming together with us and for us to do this. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like every time I say it out loud, it's like I almost can't even comprehend it. Like it doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
Like the fact that there's all these people flying in at the same time for us to help make all this possible. It's incredible. I'm just super grateful.
Yeah, and the team that you're going to meet there, I mean, this like salt of the earth, man. The people who like it's like, man, these are the people. Yeah, these are the people. Like we get so caught up in like Northeast PA, the Valley.
Nonsense.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
nonsense.
And then you realize like, wow, there's people doing pretty amazing
like
things
actual,
around the world.
Like stuff that actually changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Because you know what doesn't change people's lives? Complaining.
Yeah.
That doesn't do it.
Nope.
Nope. You know, nope. Then there's, you know, crazy people like us that are just going to, we're going to Africa and we're going to do some great work.
We are.
You know,
we are. And like I said, I can't wait to share from now until leading up to it, to let everybody see, when we get back to break ground on their project number six, which is going to be, amazing and a blessing to be there with you. So that like, once again, I know, I'm trusting God that there's going to be a part of your heart that's going to be planted in that dirt in Kenya. But the same thing for my son, man, because it's like, you know, when I was at Dirt Project number four, like we, you know, my wife and I, we dug a hole and we planted avocado tree. And we planted that and it's like, you know, David knows what he's doing. It's like, you want to come back here.
Yeah.
It was a mango tree. It was a mango tree.
Okay.
So we planted a mango tree and it's like, I don't even really like mango, but I can't wait to eat a mango from that mango tree.
That you know planted. What I mean?
Yeah. So it's
in Africa. Like that's just crazy.
Yeah. So
crazy.
So it's like now at number six, when we go there, like it's going to be,
what are we going to plant?
I don't know.
I need to plant something.
We will.
I don't care if it's a mango tree too. Anything.
Coffee beans.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, man.
That grows.
It. Yes. So it's just it's something that we will have like that 1 year from now, not 1 year from now, but one day, you know, down the road, you'll be able to take your own child back there and be like, this was the first spot. This was the very first spot. This is where it all started.
And then we'll be looking back on this video too. Yeah. Down the road. It's wild. Cause this stuff's just going to exist like hopefully forever online. Right.
Yeah.
Unless it ever becomes irrelevant, but I can't see how the internet could ever become irrelevant, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Even when we do, it's all right.
Yeah.
Cause it's not about us. It's going to be about the work that we're doing.
Absolutely.
So I, like I said, I'm very thankful and blessed that you're coming alongside. Cause like I said, when I threw it out there, like, let's go to Kenya.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I never in a million years thought that you would say like, yeah, let's do it. It's like, like I said, I just had gotten
your mind. Did you take me serious when I messaged you? Like, you're like, oh, this guy is going to back out.
The fact that you messaged me made it a little bit like, oh man, he's serious. He's reaching right back out. Like if you gave a thumbs up, you know, like, hey, sounds fun, you know, but you were like, yeah, I 100% would love to do that. It's like, okay, guess I'm packing the bags again. So, but I, I love it, man. It's like, I look forward to those times. Like it gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It gives you something where it's like, I can't wait to get there and see my friends. It's like family, you know, over there now.
Yeah.
So like to see this group, man, you're going to have a blast.
I can't wait, man.
You're going to love these guys.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. So, but in the meantime, obviously people can donate on Indiegogo. If anyone's interested in being a corporate sponsor, obviously we have some packages, you know, feel free to contact us, send us a DM, reach out.
Yeah.
We'll send you that document if you're interested in doing that. And but also how can people connect with the Dirt Project online?
Yeah, please. The biggest way that I keep in touch with people is through the Facebook page. So by liking it, by sharing the Dirt Project, you know, you'll see a picture of myself and the family. You'll see that logo. By doing that, even like by sharing, like you said, $5.
I was literally gonna say that. And listen, if you can't even give $5, like that's okay too.
Yeah.
If you can't afford it, that's fine.
Follow the page.
Like his page. Like mine. Share this podcast.
Yeah. Because right now, like, hey, we understand the economy's tough for everybody right now. So you might not have that extra, you know, $50, $100 laying around right now that you can give. But maybe next year when we do the fundraiser, maybe you have $10 to throw our way. Like, and
it costs
again,
nothing to share this either. It costs zero.
And that $10, like I said, that $10 is going
almost
right
that
to
whole
Africa.
$10. Yeah.
So like every little bit. So like right now we're running our 6 year anniversary fundraiser, which is separate than our fundraiser that we're going to be doing for the corporate stuff. That is the money that goes directly to Lifewater Kenya to do drilling. So if you want to be a part of that, like our page, share our page, follow along, you know, drop some comments and some love. We always appreciate that stuff.
Oh man, this was great. I've been looking forward to this. Never in a million years when I met you almost 2 years ago on July 17th.
Yeah.
That I thought that we'd be doing a podcast. I mean, you did met. I think that was one thing that did stick in my mind though, and I didn't forget it. Obviously, literally. Yeah. I mean, look what we're doing now. But I think you said, hey, if you're ever looking for a guy to have on the show, somebody like me to talk about whatever the stuff I'm doing, whatever. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, maybe one day, you know, and like, yeah. I have so many people that reach out and, you know, forgive me if there's anyone out there that I have never gotten back to that. I know there is. I mean, I know there is.
Yeah.
I know I probably have told people yes, whether it was on social media or in public, in person, wherever. I probably have told people yes and forgive me if I haven't gotten back to anyone, but I get million people, all, you know, pulled in a million different directions. And I do still want to probably have you on. If I told you yes, I probably still have it. It may take 2 years, right?
But right?
Exactly. That's
trust
it, man.
The timing.
That's it. Don't force it.
Yeah. And that's why I never messaged you again on it. Cause like, even when I left,
you did.
Yeah. Like I never said it again. Even when I bumped into your stuff, like, and you were like looking for podcast. I actually told you like, oh, you should do one on Glenn.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring myself up again because at that moment, like 2 years ago, it was like, hey, I want to get this ball rolling for the Dirt Project. I want like, so it was like, God kind of saying like, trust my timing on it. And now here I am on the 6 year anniversary. And in less than 2 years, we go from complete strangers to embarking
literally
on a trip to Africa together. Like, you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, you know,
yeah, but trust the timing,
Literally. Trust the process, trust the timing. It's like,
it'll all work out.
Yeah. It works out so much better when you don't try to force it.
It does, man. And we're all guilty of that. You know, we're all guilty of just like go, go, go. Myself included, like I said, you know, my heart incident has made me really, you know, I'm still obviously, you know, to a degree go, 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 man. Right. I got this new business, you know, here. I mean, even though it's 5 years old, but it's still it's new. Right. You know, we got a lot of, you know, work ahead of us and, you know, I'm busy and I got, you know, a million things going on, but at the same time, it's like, hey, slow down and take a breath and look around and be grateful. Not that I wasn't grateful. I always was, but like, I'm even more grateful now, you know? And, I'm just grateful literally to be sitting across from you right now, having this conversation and everybody that came before you and everybody that's going to come after you. Mm-hmm. And man, we have some stellar guests lined up for,
we do.
For Africa, man. I seriously can't wait.
We do. It's going to shine a lot of light on a lot of love and some amazing stories. So it's going to be exciting.
Excellent. All right. Josh Salvaterra on the Stacks. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, brother.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.